We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
All right, so they line up to go for it on the fourth and two. And they do. And the pass is caught, and on the run, it's Kittle off to the races for the touchdown.
Now, back to Steiny, Guru, and Dibs, featuring
Lorenzo Neal, Fresno State,
on 95.7 The Game.
Matt Steinmetz, Daryl the Guru Johnson, Dan Dibley, and Lorenzo Neal on a Monday after the 49ers beat the L.A. Rams 24-16 at Levi's Stadium. They're now 3-3 and back in it. And I was thinking about this, guys, when you look at the offense, all right, pick a guy. You could go with Garoppolo, great bounce back game. You could go with Mostert, set the tone in the first half. You go with Kittle or Debo. Debo punctuated that win at the start and at the finish. Kittle was solid all game. Heck, Jamichael Hasty did a Dennis Eckersley closer job in that ball game. So, and we haven't even mentioned the line, which has been absolutely pilloried over the last week. So, where are you coming down on the offense and? Why did it click this week?
It's because of everything you said, Steiny. It's the amalgamation sensation of all of it, and it starts with Kyle Shanahan. You have the offensive line protecting Jimmy G as long as they needed to because you ran so much quick action, so much jet sweep motion, so much, you know, across the formation pre-snap, and you got to the second quarter after you'd gone to Debo, you've gone to Ayuk in the run game, you've done a lot of the short passing, and that allowed you to open things up a little bit to where you could get more passes down the field. But I would start with the offensive line because they had been pilloried or maligned or pick any other synonym you want. We all went in on them, and they performed beautifully. The game plan was not to let Jimmy G drop seven steps back and throw it all the way down the field. The game plan was protect Garoppolo, protect the offensive line, make Aaron Donald a non-factor. So for me, it starts with that offensive line.
And this is how you could tell our show is not scripted, Dibs and fellas, because I'm going O-line too. I mean, every day, every one of the 5 days last week we were on air, we talked about the O-line. And it was almost low, Neil, to the point that we were questioning their manhood. What was going on? And that's why I was so scared for Jimmy and the running backs. Like, you're not going to be able to do anything because you're not going to have time. And Steiny, you pointed out, speaking of time, in the first half, the Niners had the ball 21 minutes. I mean, 21 minutes, 41 plays, and that set the tone, Lo Neal. And at the end of the day, they must have heard the noise. I'm talking about McGlinchey and the boys, Williams, and they got her done against a team that led the NFL in sacks. So this was not an anomaly. It was a mano a mano. Like, I'm making – put respect on my name. And they put respect on their names.
I got caught up this.
Yeah, thinking of Birdman, put some respect on my name. Huh? Go ahead, Lo.
I can't well. – I don't know. I'm not just going to give it to the offensive line because Jimmy G was able to throw the ball, guys. So, I'm sorry I'm not in the same church, in not on the same pew. But you guys asked the reason why.
Are you in the same diocese?
Why?
Different religion, yeah. Different God. Maybe even I'm afraid.
Shout out CYO and Union City.
But guys, gentlemen, you guys just sat here and talked about, hey, look, he didn't take seven-step drops. He wasn't wide.
Yeah.
Because why? I want to protect him. So you guys listen to what you're saying, but you guys still want to just give it to the line? I get it. They played better. But how much was it the scheme? You guys said, about at the beginning of the game, you talked about, hold on, Steiny, if I may. Thank you, Steiny. Dibs, you sat there and you said that it started, he had 0 yards down the field, all the things you had, because they were just like just getting the ball out of his hands. So they understood why they do that. Why did they do the Jets? But you guys just crowned the offensive line. Okay, let's give them an attaboy. Okay. But what about Mostert? 17 in the first half. Why? Is that guy not a boy dog?
The road pavers on that line low.
Yeah, they did a great job, but I think the scheme and design helped a lot, made Jimmy Albin look comfortable. But what did I say? We talked about it last week. I said, this is not a team, and Dibs, you were in the same church, and hopefully you don't let Steiny get you out and let him, you talked about last week.
I'm the devil on his shoulder, Lo.
And go five. I know you are. Steiny, I'm starting to realize how you do things. You're very manipulative. You're a little devil. But I said, this team's not built to go five wide and sit there and drop seven step. And we agreed that Dibs said this team's not built that way. And that's how they did. They didn't go that way. They ran first. This is a team that by running, whether it's jet sweeps, whether it's reverses, whatever it may be, that's the team that this team is. That's their identity. They right. have to be able to establish run and perimeter in order to be a team that to go off the pass. It's
and
not
because
a pass
they established that, because they did so well at establishing running on the perimeter, the jet sweep motion, you flipped it to Debo,
yes.
you flipped it to Ayuk. In the second quarter, you were able to run off of that, so they were still sending the motion man across the formation, but then they were faking it, and the defense was unable to get at Jimmy G, the pass rush wasn't as ferocious because they had to honor
Absolutely.
That run toward the boundary. And I think that's where the offensive line deserves credit. They didn't allow a sack. 0 sacks. And we did Kyle's mad props, and I know at 11:45, we're going to check on how we did. And, up at 11:45, Guru gets his comeuppance part five. But one of the props, Lo, was about how many sacks for Aaron Donald, and we set the number at 2.5. The team didn't even get a half a sack. So, yes, you credit the scheme. Yes, you credit Kyle Shanahan for getting the ball out of Jimmy G's hands, but the offensive line did a spectacular job in the ground game and in the pass game of neutralizing Aaron Donald.
888-957-9570. What was the most impressive thing the Niners did yesterday? Was it on offense? Was it on defense? Was it a player? Was it Garoppolo? Was it Shanahan? Was it Shanahan or was it Mostert? Did he set the tone? 888-957-9570. I do want to get to one piece of sound here from Kyle Shanahan on talking about the 49ers bouncing back from the embarrassment of the Dolphins loss.
We always have a pretty big sense of urgency, but I think when you get embarrassed like we did last week, you know, when you get embarrassed like that, you can find out a lot about your team. And, you know, we came in Monday and it was a hard day, but usually when stuff like that happens, you know, guys either give in and because it gets too hard and they try to hide and point fingers a little bit and just go through the motions, or guys try to step it up and get better. And I thought we had some good meetings on Monday, but you really don't know until you see guys on the field on Wednesday. And I was very impressed with the character of our team and just some of the just how the players carried themselves and the way they came out to practice on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And really the way they responded to all of us getting embarrassed. They tried to get better this week and not worry about anything else. And usually when you do that, you can put together those type of practices. Usually the results are better, and I'm glad that they were, because I thought they really earned it throughout the week and today.
There's Kyle Shanahan talking about the week leading up to yesterday's win and coming in Monday and coming in with a good attitude, coming in with a good attitude.
And those were all the things you were talking about, Steiny, last week when you just couldn't pick against the Niners because you felt something. And Dibs, without me being in practice, Lo, you know what a practice consists of. You don't see the intangibles. And I guess if grown-ass men are embarrassed for 2 weeks in a row, haven't won at home, I sold that short. I didn't think they could get back off the mat. But, I mean, when we give grades, if we even do get there, everybody's getting the same grade from me. And it's a great grade, you know, Dibs, because I was just shocked. 60 minutes of football when the game was over and it was completed, I honestly said, how did they do that? Not where are we at? How did they do that? And kudos to the Niners keeping their season alive at 3-3.
Yeah, they're basically out there trying to function, Guru. And for the Niners to function, they've got to be able to run the ball, which they were able to do. They've got to be able to execute and stay ahead of the sticks with the short passing game. They were able to do that. This team needs to be in the lead, and they got the lead. And the biggest surprise to me came from the defense, Lo, because I didn't think that the secondary would go from where they were against Miami to what we saw last night with no sacks from the front seven, yet on this, in the incredible secondary, you had a pick and nine pass breakups. We haven't seen nine pass breakups all season from this secondary, yet in one game, Lo, those guys came to play, and Emmanuel Mosley's out there. He doesn't think that he's anything short of an all-pro the way he plays. That guy plays with some swag, Lo.
He does. And last night, that team was flying around. And our guy in the middle, Dibs, you and I, we both. Now, that's a guy we love. Oh, Freddie. I mean, you watch a Warner. You watch Freddie. The way he runs around, the way he beats blocks, the way that he anticipates in getting there, running sideline to sideline.
BYU.
They stayed ahead of the six. I love him. I love him.
Yeah, they had that one package of him, highlight package, last night where – they showed how much of the field he actually covers, sideline to sideline. It's pretty impressive.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Let's go to Javier. Let's get Javier in here.
You got to be happy today, right?
Javier is in Arizona, it says today. Is that our Javier?
Yeah, how you doing? I'm here for a funeral, so I'm out of town. But you know,
sorry to hear that, buddy.
Thank you. So a few things. Just I want people to recognize that Jimmy Garoppolo, wrong, right, or indifferent, he has currently the third highest win percentage when trailing at any point in a game, and he's won 30 straight starts without losing back-to-back football games. People really need to take into consideration. Granted, he had a bad game due to the, you know, nagging calf ankle injury he had last week against Miami, but just appreciate what you have. I mean, look at our team derailed right now with 18 people on injured reserve leading the league. Like I said, 3 weeks ago, it feels like 2014 all over again, and just appreciate what happened last night. I'm not saying we're going to win the chip, but you know, we're competitive, and, you know, granted, week to week. But also, I just want to go into a few other points. We need to trade, consider letting go of Alexander and trying to acquire a pass rusher, like I told you last week. The defense is keeping beat with Greenlaw playing that inside linebacker and kicking Shazier to weak side linebacker. Greenlaw is not anything less than Alexander, and the production level didn't subside one time. My last point, it's cover six. When they gave up the touchdown to Woods, if you watched the missed cut, three times and trips left, he's playing the three. Like I said at Salisbury last week, they need to focus on letting Ward play in that half and going quarter backside over Rhett, because they're going to go against a team that can run that third receiver from line scrimmage that is exposing hash to hash. And that touchdown that Woods got was they tried to run quarter, and they got beat. And if you watch that film over, I know Lawrence on the, I'm pretty sure you know what I'm talking about, they'll go watch the film and they'll dissect that. The half coverage that they had Ward get that half, he would have took away that inside vertical, inside seam from Woods. Granted, it's come later down the line. Huh.
Thanks, Javier. Appreciate it.
Huh. Man.
What do you think about cover six, Lo?
I think that you got to know when to play it. I think that you look at, you know, quarters. If you're talking about, hey, if you're letting Ward go across and if no one's there, if the linebacker doesn't get deep enough, and then you have him just kind of that deep seam across if no one's deep. But is that who's going to have the underneath coverage too? Because sometimes you have a running back or something underneath that flashes, and so sometimes guys don't get as deep. And you guys see that where those guys are stuck in the middle. You have a go route on the outside, and the corner's
Steelers
dropping
wheel.
Off, and the safeties has the deep. And I'm not even talking about the Niners. I'm just talking about just in general. And the corner is taught to play the sticks, so a guy goes right before the sticks and he sits there, and then they have a vertical going by him. So you see how that usually happens, and then the corner end up slopping off to take the sticks, and then that ball's thrown over the head when he didn't get that little window that's there. So it's tough. Those guys get paid too. I don't know if you necessarily – get rid of, you know, Quan Alexander. He's shown flashes, and Greenlaw's shown flashes, and both those guys can play. Fred Warner, we know it's his team, and he's the linebacker that everyone knows. The secondary, I thought they played well last night. What happened to, you know, the Rams secondary? It's hard to cover guys. It's hard to cover, especially when you have guys running through zones. And that's why cover eight is really good in the red zone, because you have four across and then four underneath, and you're on the goal line. So you have those windows. When you're in the middle of the field, sometimes it's hard to play it, you know, because of the fact there's so many windows there that there's open. And if you don't have that pass rush, sometimes guys can get open. So I get it. But I thought the secondary, like you guys are talking about, Dibs, the secondary last night, they played pretty well. I thought they played actually excellent.
Let's go out to Arizona and give it another crack with Lori in Phoenix. What's up, Lori? How you doing?
Hey guys. How's it going?
Going well.
So I think the team that we saw last night was the team that we all knew was there. We just haven't seen it much this year. I think the O-line, that was the key to the game. They finally stepped up. I think that, you know, they've had a lot of criticism. And instead of making excuses, I think they kind of looked in the mirror and thought, you know, we got to do something. And they played up. They didn't just play up to their potential, but they did it against Aaron Donald. And they made Aaron Donald look like a below-average player. That's got to do something to boost their confidence. But it opened up the rest of the offense. And you could tell Jimmy felt a little better last night. And he had a great game. I mean, I know fans are still, oh, he's not the guy. You know, it's still that criticism. But you know what? He played well enough last night to get us a win, and that's what we need to see from him every week. They went back to their basics. You know, they ran the ball like they needed to. They passed when they could. They got their playmakers involved, which, you know, we've been talking about this for weeks, too. You got to get Debo back, and then you got to get the ball to Kittle. Look how much of an impact Kittle had on that game last night. Ayuk, you know, again, getting him involved, and I was really happy to see that the new running back, Hasty. He played great. I mean, once we lost Mostert and the tide kind of changed, I mean, the defense held up. I was worried they might not. They might get tired. And shout out to the defense. I mean, Jason Verrett, we were calling him out just a few weeks ago going, is he ever going to play? And that kid has come in, and wow, what a difference he's made. And I hope he can keep that going, because that could be an answer for something that, you know, we really need. Right now we're in survival mode. So every single week, somebody that is either unexpected or expected needs to step up and make a difference for this ball team. And I think the more they can do that, and look at the teams we got going the next few weeks. Patriots have shown some major weaknesses yesterday.
Exactly.
Green Bay showed some weaknesses. The Cardinals, they lost Chandler Jones. They lost two of their corners for the rest of the year. So in our own division, you know the Rams are beatable because you beat them last night. The Cardinals, I think they're going to have a hard time. The Seahawks, their defense is not that great. So,
there you go, Lori.
Thanks, Lori, for the phone call and for the look ahead. It's you know, you don't know who's going to be who and what's going to be what in a week, 6 weeks, 8 weeks. But
what about
grabs?
They get Richard Sherman back next week. What does that do to that secondary?
Was that a question mark or was that a definitive statement? Because for the first time this year, I don't know if you necessarily are clamoring to have him back the way the secondary played
yesterday.
Well,
let's slow down. Bobby Valentino.
Is he going to be 100%? He hasn't played. When was the last time he played? It was February, guys. You telling me you're going to throw him just straight right out there after 8 months off?
And each game is its own entity, Steiny. So New England and the hoodie are going to present something different that McVay couldn't do last night. But if you're telling me Verrett's balling now and Mosley has confidence, you bring Uncle Sherm back there, Dibs. Now you got the Soul Patrol, Lo. You know about the Soul Patrol.
I think the only thing that Dibs is saying is like, hey, how injured is he? Is he a guy that is going to be gimpy? If he's ready to go, of course you bring him back. But if he's out there, if he's trying to come out just to say, look, I got to come back because the team needs me, then I think that you are making a mistake, because you're starting to see corners now and these guys are starting to get adjusted to what's going on. But yeah, when a healthy Richard Sherman, the guy's at lockdown, he's an elite corner. I think a lot of it is just his technique and his being such a student of the game. It's not that he's the fastest guy in the world. Salah said that. But because of his smarts and his anticipation and because he's a student of the game, he just by alignment and assignment, he can tell you what route you're running. He sees a corner, the receiver lines up, Guru, and he already knows when he's out outside the numbers, he knows that guy's not running a speed three. He knows he's not running a five route. He knows he's not running, you know, nine route. He knows automatically what those guys are doing, so he can anticipate the other routes. And so that's what makes Sherman so deadly as a corner. It's not necessarily a speed, guys. It's the anticipation because of alignment and assignment. That's what makes him so deadly.
I call it intellect, Stoney. His intellect.
You could have done it that way too. I'm looking at the. I tell you what we can do. I'll tell you what we can do right now is start looking at the standings and look at that wild card. They got that extra wild card in there, Low.
I got it up.
49ers feeling frisky.
Let's give them some props just about the game. Let's just stay with the game. I mean, you guys are.
What do you mean? Let's not put the cart before the horse, guys.
You've been doing that a lot, Stein. Let's just pipe it down. You guys want to give them love about this game? Let's give the guys love. And I'm all for it. What they did last night was great. They were in a situation where they needed to win that game. They needed to, and you know, to keep themselves relevant. And now, hey, we can. We can talk about, hey, are they relevant? Are they in the thick of things? Absolutely. Last night, if they lose, guys, that wouldn't have been good. We're talking about doom and disaster. So now it's giving them the right to continue in the conversation. So I know you want to get into some playoffs. If that's what you decide to do, Steiny, this is your duck. You make it quack. But
they're a half game out. Dibs behind New Orleans and Arizona at 3-2. The Niners are 3-3. Currently, the 10th spot, Steiny. All season left. Come on.
I would go ahead and shelve any talk of the P word at this point. I mean, we can't. Last week, we had a legitimate discussion over what was more likely, 9-7 or 4-12. I don't even remember how we spelled it out. But
the
idea that 4-12 was on the table. And now all of a sudden at 3-3, Guru wants to turn to page D8, the old Agate.
No, ask for the standings. I just gave ESPN puts it out. Don't get mad at me.
Yeah, shout out D8, the old Sporting Green, where you would flip ahead and you'd have the Agate, the big D8 scoreboard page, and you'd have all the various standings down there. Back when you didn't even get a baseball
right,
box
get
score,
right.
You got just a line score, Steiny, just the four across. So
I
think
it.
That any talk of the playoffs is ludicrous.
Well,
shout out Atlanta at this early juncture.
I like that.
Well,
Luda.
Here's the thing. We may not have to talk about it, but the bottom line is they lose that game and the playoffs are done.
Oh, good Lord.
In totality at that point, essentially. And now, instead, sets up a nice game against New England. By the way, that's a 1:25 start on the West Coast, I've noticed. I thought it'd be one of those 10 o'clock starts. So that's gonna impact the schedule for me on Sunday.
Right, right.
Is basically what I'm talking about there.
How would it
so we'll see.
Why Steiner?
Well, like for example,
I got to play
golf yesterday and watch the game. You see what I'm saying?
How'd you do that?
I played in the morning.
Oh, okay.
What do I wait? Wait, did I have?
Wow.
Did I have to watch the Colts game?
No,
I'm sorry. Did I make
I didn't
a
know
mistake?
You got up early.
Did I have to watch the Jets? Dolphins?
Nice comeback from the Colts. Yeah, you know, normally as the lead anchor in a major market, you would be abreast of all 32 teams at all time. But as long as you're out there making pars and bogeys,
I wouldn't allude to that, dear.
As long as we have our priorities intact.
A
quick dip into the general NFL pool, Low. How about that Tennessee Titan game? Just a wild one. Derrick Henry takes it 94 yards to the crib. Have you ever seen a man that size run away from other guys at that level?
Can he not put him up and put him down? Derrick Henry, even in the passing game, didn't that 60-yard pass he caught? And I know he didn't score on that one, but you're right, Dibbers. The guy is friggin' unbelievable. He's 4 yards in a cloud of dust, and if he's even, the big fella's leaving. And a guy that size can run that fast. It's unreal watching what he's able to do and how they just wear teams down. Hell of a comeback by the Texans, but what, the guy had over 290 yards. I mean, he was absolutely just destroying guys. There's a guy that I played with, Dibs, that was probably 6'3", I think, 230 pounds and ran hard like that. Of course, Eddie George, but a guy with the speed, Corey Dillon. I seen Corey Dillon run over a guy.
But not like that.
He knocked him out. He was out. Before the guy hit the ground, he was knocked out. That Corey ran him over and kept going. He was playing against New England. I never forget that. Have you ever seen a tailback hit a guy and knock the defender out? Corey Dillon was that type of guy.
Hey, just a footnote on that game. I won't ruin anything because it was going to be a gripe later on this week. Texans score. They're up 7. They decide to go for 2 to go up 9 rather than kick the extra point would be 8. So if you give up a touchdown, you still got the one play to keep them out the end zone for the 2-point conversion. And you get on the play to Houston with a win. They try to go up 9. Don't get it. Football gods allow Tennessee to then tie game and then go to OT and you lose game. Romeo Crennel, when you're applying for that damn job and you make that decision, what am I missing? What part of math class did I fall asleep on?
What do you mean?
Why you would mean? You go for 2 when the extra point put you up 8?
Away. I mean, no. I'm not saying I agree with it, but I mean, you clearly knew what he was thinking.
Right. You go up 9 and it's game over.
Bye-bye.
You get 2.5 yards, the game ends. And if you don't, okay, you're still up 7 and you're protected. Now you're forcing Tennessee to score and go for 2 to beat you, which they wouldn't do. They would kick the PAT. So, I mean, you may want to gripe it up later in the week on this, but take some time and reflect on what the mindset was from a Romeo Crennel.
They're getting killed for that decision. Yeah, I don't.
Hey, despite the fact that that Lorenzo Neal doesn't want to give any credit to the offensive line,
whoa.
Let's take a listen
that.
To what Shanahan said. Yeah. On the offensive line, Lo.
Yeah, I thought the O-line had a hell of a game. Always wait to see the film, but I thought they cleared a bunch of good lanes for our backs. I thought they protected very well versus very good front. And results, I think, speak for themselves. I think they did a hell of a job.
Yeah, they were opening up lanes, Lo.
I didn't say they didn't. I didn't say
21
that they
minutes
didn't play
in the
well.
First half, Lo. Come on, man. Give them their due.
Wait a minute. All I said is, The scheme and the design helped that offensive line tremendously. How many times do you see them? Go count the plays. How many times do they run between guard and center? I'm still waiting, Guru. How many times do they run to the outside? How many times do they get jet sweep? How many times do they get to perimeter? How many times do they make the offensive-defensive line run? How many times
do they
make defend both sides?
It worked what they did.
But that helps the offense. All I'm saying is this the design helped the offensive line neutralize a penetrating defense. They didn't run those type of plays against a team that penetrated and got up the field, a team that we came into San Francisco and slapped them around and made that offensive line. You guys, we all wanted to run them out of town. You know, they didn't play that way, against Philadelphia. They didn't put pressure and say, we're going to get to the outside and now those guys are going to run. They didn't do that. So you changed the scheme and you made that offensive line better because of the fact now guys were running, trying to get in position, and they were jet sweep one way and then come back and throw the ball to Kittle on the backside. Because the defense would run into the left, and then how many times you saw that little screen and Kittle would sneak out? Are the running back the same way? Come on, Goo. You hear the thunder before you see the lightning. Tell you the rain is coming. Come out of the rain.
Let's go to Doug in Wichita.
Please.
Doug's in Wichita. What's up, Doug?
What's up, guys?
Hey.
Hey, just driving my truck at work. I was watching that game last night, and I'm very happy with the win, but I am concerned we only managed 3 points in this whole entire second half.
That's fair.
That's not gonna hold up well against Seahawks or anybody else that has a competent quarterback. Tell me what y'all think off air, man. Love the show. Thanks.
All right, Wichita.
Tell me about Jet McKinnon, guys. Wichita. Was Jet McKinnon
Wichita,
injury?
Wichita, Kansas, Lo. You,
I like
farm
Wichita.
Country. It's farm country.
I like
country.
Wichita.
Have you ever
I
been
like
to Wichita?
Kansas. I have. I've been to Kansas. Hey, I'm going to ask you something. What happened to Jet McKinnon? Is he injured?
You know what?
Boys?
I think he's lost a little explosiveness. But
he's
still a body.
Ring.
He's still a body back there.
Where are you going?
Why, what
with
do you think, Lo? Lo. What do you think of Jet McKinnon?
Right. Wait, what are you doing?
Here's what I think, guys. Doesn't necessarily fit this scheme. Doesn't make his offensive lineman look great. Watch last night when he got the ball, and look how it happened. Watch when the other backs get the ball and see what happened. Because you're slow through the hole and fast through. You got to break arm tackles. You got to be able to – he's looking and trying to pick a hole. Guys can't sustain their blocks. Start watching the game, same guys. Start watching the same game and start watching and then watch him. Not saying that the guy's not explosive. If he catch the ball, get on the flat, he's explosive. Catch a route, the guy can make you miss. All those things. But when you're trying to make five and six guys and seven and eight guys mix and miss in the box, it usually doesn't happen, Dibs. It's hard for a running back unless you're Barry Sanders going to make eight, nine, and ten guys miss in that box. Watch how when you're talking about the offensive line, you ask those guys, they ain't going to sit and tell you because they ain't going to throw anybody under the bus. Ask them how much easier is the block for a frigging guy like Raheem Mostert and what with Hastings, because those guys cut and they hit it.
Right. It's right. Harder. I think JaMychal Hastings is the one you can look at. And, Lo, you make good points, and this is partly to the caller Doug from Wichita about why they only scored 3 points. It's because McKinnon wasn't as effective running the ball as Hasty was when they went to Hasty early in that fourth quarter. Now, I know those drives didn't necessarily result in points. They had one stall out. It was fourth and short at the Rams 44. If the game situation was different, you go for it in that situation. You keep that drive going. But Wisnowski punts, you pin the Rams at the one, and that was a big part of why you went ahead and won that game. So for me, the second half lack of offense was more about what you said, Steiny, just protecting the lead, avoiding mistakes. You could have played a little bit faster and looser offensively, but why take chances? They didn't have to, and so they didn't.
Lo, you asked about Mostert, and we talked about what happened when he went out of the game at halftime. Here's what Kyle Shanahan said on the loss of Raheem Mostert.
And no, we don't know yet on Raheem. I'm sure we'll find out tomorrow. I know he tried to come back. I think he did it at the end of the second quarter. He tried to come back in. I think he did one play in the third quarter, and then he couldn't go. I thought Jet did a good job running hard, doing what he's done for us every week. But Hasty was up for the challenge, got some fresh legs in there, and I thought he gave us some juice a little bit. From what I saw, I thought he really helped us.
Yeah, so you start to wonder if you're going to have to play next week,
man,
without Mostert. And I do agree with Lowe. He runs differently than most guys. Although Hasty seems to run more like Mostert than
physical,
he does McKinnon. Physical.
What do you think of Hasty? Yeah. Hasty has some juice, and he may be featured next week. But, Steiny, at the end of the day, I'll give you your flowers on this one. I've been a guy. A lot of people have called, why doesn't Mostert get 25 carries? Maybe this is why. And we've seen him miss games already, but that is a dude defenders want to get out the way, Lo, later on in the game. But why I won't go down negative avenue, and I want to, is because you saw the effect of a non-Mostert offense when the Niners were barely hanging on. Like, had that game been 5 or 10 more minutes, you're like, without Mostert, whoa, because the running backs weren't physical enough. So, Hasty, he has some juice, some bounce.
Yeah.
He, you know, we'll see Dibs moving forward. If he does have to be the lead back, per se, can he do it? But Mostert
will be
missed, man.
It's going to be a straight committee. And shout out Black Rob for your like, whoa reference. Don't think that slid by me, because I'm right with you.
Man.
Shout out one-hit wonder Black Rob. I think that what you've seen from this offense, and Lowe talked about it, and this is why Lowe is hesitant to give the offensive line credit, because it's the scheme. You put a back in. Jeff Wilson Jr. has been productive in this offense. Matt Breida, for crying out loud, the Miami Dolphin last year, he was productive. Mostert, now Hasty. There's a sense that no matter who you put back there, as long as they're a certain kind of back, like Lowe's talking about, a guy who's just going to get in there and hit it, one cut and go, if you can find those players, it almost becomes plug and play with the scheme.
I saw a stat that annoyed me a little bit, guys. And
you?
I'm going to share it with you.
Please.
I saw a stat. Jimmy Garoppolo is 7-1 in primetime games. So
that
what?
Bothers you?
It does bother me. Because clearly the Super Bowl does not count as a primetime game.
That's a problem.
Wow, you won me over, Steiny, with that one.
Right?
I'm done here. Mic off, dude.
Well, that game was in prime time, so I don't know why that wouldn't be. Is it just
in
the regular season?
That's the primest of all prime time games.
I think so.
Right.
Yeah, that's the biggest stage, Lo. That's the biggest
Did Garoppolo lose a Monday night game last year?
To Seattle.
He lost to Seattle. Seattle.
Yeah.
Seattle.
Yep.
Kyle,
remember Clowney?
Yeah, you forgot about that.
Right. Yeah, so Seattle. In other words, he's 7-1 in the regular season. So we're gonna isolate primetime games is really important, and somehow we're gonna elevate him over playoff games. Come on, you know what I mean, Lowe? Come on,
Steiny. Your stats. I mean, my God, Steiny. Sometimes you make my booty hurt. I just think that you're looking at this thing. I think Jimmy plays well, whether it's prime time, whether it's not. And at times he plays great. At times he doesn't. With times when he has to step up and make plays, he's done it. At times he hasn't. And that's just about the quarterback position, but that's just being about either an average quarterback, a elite quarterback, or just a guy. I don't think Jimmy's just a guy. I've never had said Jimmy's just a guy. I just don't believe that Jimmy's an individual that you can line up and say, Jimmy, go get me 350 yards a week. We're going to line up and we're going to throw the ball around the field. I don't think the Niners, its team is built that way. I don't think it's built that way, Steinmetz, and I'm going to continue to preach that. I know you might say, oh, they're ready and all this team is built that way. Let them line up. I think when you have to have him do that and make a living out of it, I'm not saying for a game or two. Yes. They're not going to get it done.
I got a quick question
for you. No, don't be sorry. You got to get in there.
I love you, Dibs. Can the Niners bottle up what they did in regard to getting the ball out of Garoppolo's hand like a bottle of cologne now and take that to New England? Is that the point of attack, or they saw something with the Rams defense to where that will only work that game? Because I'm wondering, why wouldn't you do this moving forward all the time?
Well, what New England's going to do, they're going to play that wide nine. That's where the defensive end gets really, really wide. And now you're going to have a guy coming down and saying, we're not going to let him get out to the outside. I want you to come across the field. Okay. And the linebacker's all going right. to have to hit, go out the field. So you're playing a different style of football. And I think that's what the thing was. The Rams, they didn't just adjust and say, we're going to take a page out of, you know, Philadelphia's book. We're going to play our type of football. New England's not that type of guy. New England, you got to look at Belichick and watch. He's going to play a wide nine. You're going to see guys outside, and they're going to see if they can get guys to check out of it. You might see them, and they're going to do certain things to try to, you know, play that chess match. So it's going to be just interesting perspective to watch these two coaches go after it, because we know that Kyle Shanahan has had some success against Belichick, and we know Belichick ended up getting the last laugh because the adjustments he made at halftime. So how is this game going to be played? I think that's the question that you're asking, Goo, and can they bottle it up? You can bottle up and try the same game plan, but you know teams are going to make adjustments to try to shut you down.
Yeah, I mean, the game plan will be different against New England. By the way, when we were talking about the second half and the fact that they only scored 3 points, let's not forget, Kendrick Bourne dropped the first down pass. Was it a third down that gets him a first? Kittle had that drop that would have gotten him a third down, would have gotten him a first down.
Well,
a
we could do
down,
that with so. The Rams, Steiny. Cooper Kupp dropped the touchdown.
But we weren't asked about the Rams, Goo. We were asked about the 49ers.
Yeah, Goo, don't let him do that to you, Goo. Yeah.
Shout out Wichita.
You
could
do the theory all around. That's all I was saying. Dibs knows where I'm coming from.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, so one reason they might not have scored is because the 49ers didn't catch the ball like they did in the first half. That's all. That's all I'm saying.
And they didn't
have to
score.
Can they afford to do that on the road?
They had the lead. You didn't have to press the issue. You didn't have to take chances and take risks. You just went out there, and yeah, you didn't want to go 3-and-out your first couple of possessions, but the defense stood on its head and made it count for you. So offensively, you could stay conservative, and you didn't have to get too risky in the pass game.
Yeah, I was
saying
– Yeah, go ahead.
And Steiny, you're right, Steiny. They didn't have to take those chances, and you didn't, and you're right. Guys catch the ball. But I'm asking you, so if you're going to play looking at their schedule, since you said, hey, look, the wild card, is that where you want to go? When you look at the teams, can they afford to do that? Can you do that against New England? Can you do that against the Saints? Can you do that against the teams? Can you expect your defense? Because last time I checked, I know we're going to go back, and you talked about primetime. So if that's the case, if you go back in primetime, what happened when – they weren't able to do that, and guys were dropping balls and not making catches in the Super Bowl? What happened in that primetime game when you just went away from what your bread and butter, and then your offense was 3-and-out, and you're playing a team that can score? So does that give you – so you can have a lead, but we see how leads can evaporate very fast, correct?
Oh, no doubt about it. And that's where Kittle and Bourne have room for improvement, not just Jimmy. You know what I'm saying? But that's the reason they won last night, is because virtually everybody who played pretty well for them, or at least did what they were asked to do in the case of the offensive line. So, you know, all in all, it was a solid day for the Niners, and now the New England Patriots are up next. But first, you got to talk about the gutsy win, and it was gutsy. It was very gutsy, Lo. One of the gutsiest wins I've seen in a long time around here. What do you think?
I think that the Niners and Kyle Shanahan did a hell of a job being ready. And you played a couple cuts, and I listened to it, and you heard Kyle Shanahan said, I wanted to get guys in there and see how they were going to react. He said on Monday, I wanted to coach hard. He pretty much said he coached hard, and he said they had that meeting. People got called out. And then he seen after they got called out, he said he couldn't wait till Wednesday to get them on the field. Why? Because he wanted to see how they responded. See, it's different. You can get called out, and you don't want to be around. He said guys might be hiding after a loss, don't want to be called out, trying to get away. I've been there. Been there. Didn't want to be called. Man, I hate to watch this film because I know I played ferocious. So you understand he addressed that. But then he said, on Wednesday, I wanted to see what the reaction was. And he said it was good. So you like to hear those things. So I agree that they played well. And Kyle Shanahan addressed those issues. Now we can see, can we do it consistent? Can we start to get some type of consistency? You talked about last week, who are they? What's their identity? In you guys' opinion. So I'm the guy who said, this team, I didn't think they're making the playoffs. I'm the guy who you guys had to talk a little off the ledge. So what, in you guys' opinion, what was the biggest difference? I know, Dibs, you're talking about because of the scheme. Was it the guys? Did they make a better effort?
They found their driver's license, Lo. They were in a situation where they had lost their identity, and they looked under the couch cushion, and there it was, their ID. And it's like, oh, my God, here's our identity. We're a ground team. We're going to run the ball. We're going to go to the perimeter, use the short passing game, and let our defense keep us in it. They found their ID. They found their driver's license, Steiny.
And that's always very important. Here's what's coming up on 95.7 The Game, brought to you by Amazon Workforce. Of all the players we've singled out yesterday as having done a real nice job, there was one guy that made a huge play in that game that we still haven't talked about. And that's all sponsored by Amazon Workforce.
And the Niners come off an embarrassing, humiliating home loss to Miami last week. Take on the vaunted Rams and come away with a victory.
We're live, bro.
Now, back to Steiny, Guru, and Dibs. Featuring
Lorenzo Neal, Fresno State.
On 95.7, The Game.
That was Al Michaels on the call last night. And then I guess George Kittle messing up a Jimmy Garoppolo interview.
We're live, bro.
Live after the game. We're
live,
bro.
Yeah.
Matt Steinmetz, Dan Dibley, Darryl the Guru Johnson, and Lorenzo Neal with us. Lorenzo's here every Monday during the football season. And let's take a look at some of our mad props from Kyle. And Lo, you can comment on some of these too. We did some over-unders on Friday, and we're going to revisit them now.
Well, Dibs got his sheet.
Yeah, Dibs.
Gotta have the sheet.
Yeah,
Dibs. Welcome,
you,
Kyle.
You should pull your sheet out because you did a great job. Guru, not so much. Starting with Jimmy Garoppolo, over 235.5 passing yards. He went over that at 268. Steiny and Dibs, you guys both had the over. Guru, you had the under on that.
Yeah, I thought the Rams defense was for real, and they were silence of the lambs, Lo.
Jimmy Garoppolo, 2.5 quarters. Guru, you were the only one to go under. Again, Jimmy played all 4 quarters. Guru, were you surprised to see him play so well and last the entire game?
Yes, and I didn't know the game plan was going to be hike it, get it out of his hands like a hot potato, and they would be able, you know, to dominate the time of possession. Kudos to Kyle. I was wrong. I admit it.
Raheem Mostert, 14.5 carries. Steiny, you were the only person to go under.
Well, look at this guy.
Is this something that you're going to change going forward now that Raheem Mostert got 16 carries and a half?
No, because that's Kyle's fault. You cannot go to 16, otherwise you're going to hurt the guy.
I see.
What happened?
George Kittle, 6.5 receptions. He got 7 Steiny and Dibs, you guys both went under. Guru, you went over.
Baby.
Back-to-back victories
Guru's picks may make no sense.
Nah,
he's
got Garoppolo.
I did my homework.
He's got Garoppolo passing for under 230, but he's got one guy for six. Well done. Well done, I guess.
Your boy Kittle Dibs, your boy Steiny doesn't know this, owns the Rams, and it's prime time. So, you know, I took that into account. I didn't share those Cliff notes, but
Yeah, seven catches. Win. So it was a great number, and it barely went over. Let's just keep that in mind. It's not like he obliterated it.
I also want to credit Goo. If he's expecting the backup quarterback to be, and the backup typically relies more on the tight end, so I see what he was doing there. Debo Samuel, 6.5 touches. He had 6 catches, 1 carry. That's 7. That hits the over. Guru was the only person to go under on that one.
Ouch.
So nice job by Steiny and Dibs.
I'm pretty sure that somebody said he was going to get 1 or 2 carries to get him over.
Did you do that, Steiny?
Of course.
I mean, there's a real limb.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Hey Lo, you see the way they do me on this show, too? You're not the only one.
Oh, my God.
It's silly that little touch pass thing gets counted as a reception.
I agree.
That's silly. That's a handoff. Aaron Donald, 2.5 sacks. Matt Steinmetz liquidated all assets on the under. That hits. Guru, you took the over. Dibs, you also had the under. Aaron Donald, of course, no sacks in that game.
Stinks.
Yeah. Wow. Overrated Aaron Donald. You heard it here.
Frustrated.
And then Kyle Shanahan and Sean McVay, 0.5 photos of them together coaching in Washington. There was a big photo montage. No photos of them together coaching in Washington, so the under hits there. Steiny, you were the only person to take the under. Guru
happened?
And Dibs both went over there.
That's one of those ones that's just fluky. It's a coin toss. Yeah. And I think it's negligent that the good people at NBC Sports didn't utilize
did
that photo.
The
They don't have the archives.
Good
Somebody
pick by
lost
you guys
their job
producing
over that
by them.
They don't have a good relationship with NFL Films and Steve Sable's son. Yeah. Bottom line, they have no archive.
So the totals from the first week of Mad Props, Steiny and Dibs are both sitting at 8. Guru's at 4. And then tomorrow we'll get into our pick 6 with our picks from the week.
Nice.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Hey, you know, one guy we didn't talk about or one facet of the game we didn't talk about was special teams. 49ers got a big play out of their set special teams. Tavarius Moore getting that punt. Down in that punt at the 1 yard line.
That was big.
It's, you know, those are the kind of things that can seal football games. I had no belief that the Rams were going to be able to go 99 yards on this defense. Anyway, last night, this defense, which looked a lot better than it did against the Dolphins.
And those micro moments that you don't really think about, and you down a punt at the 1. The ability to start a drive at the 1 versus starting it at the 5, it gives you so much more flexibility if you can get out to the 5. The fact that they got pinned in there, and that's to the point about Jason Verrett's interception. If he just knocks that down, the 49ers start that drive on the 1 or the 2-yard line. Instead, he gets the pick, you get the touchback, you start at the 20. Those little subtleties make a huge difference in a close game between winning and losing.
Lo, do you think where do you have of the 4 teams in the NFC West? How do you rank them in terms of best team to worst team?
I look at the in which the AFC or are you talking about the NFC?
NFC West, 49ers, said? NFC West.
For the 49ers right now, I look at Seattle's the best team. Do you think Seattle's a great team? No. I think that their defense, you can find a lot of holes in their defense. Russell Wilson is the engine that makes that thing go. And so we know that. I think you look at, believe it or not, you look at these teams, and honestly, I had the Rams as 2. And Arizona is 3. And you know what? Flip a coin between Arizona and the Niners. That's where I had flipping a coin between Arizona and the Niners. But what we saw last night, does that change things? And I don't know. But if you ask me, if you made me just said, hey, if you had to line them up, I'd go Seattle, the Rams, probably Niners, and then I'd Arizona. I think with the injuries there, injury bugs is starting to hit Arizona, not having, you know, Chandler, not having their pass rush. You look at some of the thing, way they've been playing, I would put them last, and I put the Niners at the third best team in the conference.
Dude, where would you rank them right now?
You know what? I'm going to do what Lowe did, but I got the Niners fourth. And the only reason they're fourth is they got some injuries that I don't know if they're going to be able, when it's all said and done, to come back from. But I know the Rams, they got one more game with the Rams. I saw some plays to where the Rams left on the field. We could say that about every game. And I think they'll make the adjustment, Dibs. So I got Seattle, the Rams, Niners, and Arizona.
Yeah, I've got the Niners too, because you've got the Rams, Arizona, the Niners. They're 1-1 against each other. I don't think the Rams and Arizona have played yet, but the Niners are 1-1 against the other two. So for me, it's a toss-up between all three. But right now, yeah, Seattle's obviously number one, but the way the 49ers went about getting back to who they're supposed to be in the win over the Rams, they weren't completely dominant, but they executed their game plan almost to perfection, aside from a couple of drops and a few small penalties. The loss to Arizona was just a play or two here. That block punt changed the entire tenor of that game. So I think the loss to Arizona isn't as bad as the win over the Rams is good. I think the win over the Rams is better than the loss to Arizona was bad. So I put the Niners at two.
Me too.
But this win against the Rams isn't better than the loss was worse. The loss was bad against the Dolphins.
Right. There's no win.
You got him, Steiny.
There's no win they've had this year that's as good as that loss is bad to Miami. I don't know what.
Are we counting the division over, or would we be foolish to do that?
Why would we count the division over?
Well, they're three back. Well, you're right. You got two left with Seattle, so technically you're one back because you got to assume you win both of those games. So I kind of answered my own question.
How do you see it, Steiner? How do you see it, Steiner?
You got to put Seattle one. Now, the thing about the Rams is I remember listening to our very own Ray Ratto a couple weeks ago, and he said he wasn't sold on the Rams, and that just has always stuck with me. I honestly put those other three teams in a hat right now. You know what I'm saying? But I guess if I'd have to say, geez, I don't know. I'd probably put the Rams second just because they have a better record than the Niners, even though the Niners just beat them, which doesn't make sense. So, there's a lot of stuff to play out. Speaking of playing out, Ian Williams.
Finish.
What's that?
Okay, so you would have the Seattle, the Rams.
You're tease-blocking him, Lowe. Let him tease here. Don't tease-block him.
All right, just because I have to do it. It's Seattle, Rams, 49ers, and the injury bugs catching up with Arizona.
Okay, thank you. That's all. Okay, go ahead.
All right, Ian Williams. Ian Williams next at 12:05. And then after Ian Williams, we're going to open up the phone lines, 888-957-9570 after Ian Williams. It's all brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.